everyone. Welcome to our latest edition of the Clinton Macomb Public Library podcast. Today we are going to be telling you about one of our favorite digital services, Hoopla. And my name is Amy. I am in the Adult Services Department. We also have with us Phil, who's one of our adult librarians at the North Branch. Say hi, Phil.
Hello.
And we have our head of Youth and Teen Services, Lisa. Say hi, Lisa.
Hey, everybody.
So Hoopla, just in case someone doesn't know what it is a streaming platform provided by the library. It has really a little bit of everything. It has audiobooks and ebooks and comics and TV and music. And currently our patrons are entitled to 7 checkouts per month. And that number resets on the first of every month. And before we sort of dive into some of our favorite things on Hoopla, I just wanted to let everyone know that it's a really great resource in general. But if you're a heavy Overdrive user and you feel like you've been waiting a long time for something, make sure you check and see if it's available on Hoopla as well. And one of my examples of this was the highly anticipated prequel to The Hunger Games last year, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. We had huge holds lists on Overdrive while everyone could access it at the same time in Hoopla. So one of the benefits of Hoopla is, unlike Overdrive, it's not a one copy, one user situation. Everyone can access the same content at the same time,
Amy,
which is great. Yes.
I really recommend this, especially for book clubs. And for
Absolutely.
School classrooms. So if you have multiple kids who want to read the same book together, Hoopla is a great way to do that because
yes.
you're not limited by that one-on-one ratio.
For sure. I agree. Like last year when we did the Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek for Books on Tap, one of our book clubs at the library, it was our easiest one ever because the book was available in Hoopla and everyone could access it at the same time, which was quite nice. But I think what now we're going to do right now is we're going to dive in and sort of tell you about some of our things that we love to read or watch or listen to on Hoopla. And I think we decided we're going to start with Lisa.
We did. So before I tell you my absolute favorite thing that I use on Hoopla, because I work in the Children's and Teen Services Department, one of the things I like to promote about Hoopla is right at the top of the page, there is a kids filter button.
So, it's really nice when you've got a kid who wants to browse on their own, but you don't want them to come across adult content.
Right. So it's really easy. You just hit the button. It's right at the top next to the search bar, and you can hand your device over to a child or do it on their device. So that way they are just searching for content that you will find appropriate for them. And it also narrows it down. There is a lot of content in Hoopla. And mm-hmm. this way they're finding what they're looking for. The other neat thing that we did on our end is if you click on the browse button in Hoopla, and you'll see all these categories down near the bottom, kind of like you would find in a bookstore or a library catalog or on Amazon. Right near the top, it will say library collections. And we broke out some of our big programs that we run at the library, our preschool picks, which are the pink starred books, our kindergarten challenge books, which are the orange starred books, and our 50 and first books, which are the blue starred books. And there's audiobooks, ebooks, and DVDs of many of the titles. And that way you have a book list right there that will take you right to that content.
Super nice.
It's very cool.
So my favorite thing actually to use in Hoopla, and this is not because I personally love it, but I use it in a lot of programs because as you will see from this, I don't do well with quiet. And I like to check out the Kids Bop CDs and run them during programs when I'm working with kids. What I like about the Kids Bop CDs is I don't have to worry about any language, and they're not awful. a lot of children's music is pretty awful on my ears. The stuff that I'm still humming along to because the basic melody's there. The other nice thing about Kids Bop is there is something for everybody. They have Halloween, they have Christmas, they have Gold, which is their classic. They've got monster ballads for those 80s lovers like me. They've got party hits. They've got the 2021 songs. They've got 2020.
I have a confession to make. Prior to the pandemic, I went to a Kids Bop concert. Now I have a child. But it was
awesome.
not it was not the worst thing in the world. Like, you know all the songs, which is nice.
Well, my cousin on Facebook just yesterday said she keeps up on what's popular music-wise through Kidz Bop.
It's like they do all the hits, quite frankly. That makes a lot of sense to me, actually.
The other nice thing, because, well, the average listener is not going to be running library programs where they want to play Kidz Bop as background music. This is really great for being in your car, because I will download Kidz Bop on my Hoopla account. And it's not uncommon during normal times for me to have 7 Kidz Bop CDs checked out each month. And we will just play them and stream them through my car speakers, through my hands-free calling and syncing. And it works just like the radio, but that way the kids aren't listening to 96.3, which I love, but they don't really like it. They want their own. So
that's fair.
So that's number one on my list for children.
Awesome. Phil, would you like to go next with one of your recommendations?
Sure. I'm doing all movies. And these are movies for adults. Only watch these after the kids have gone to bed. The first one I'm going to talk about is Ex Machina from 2014. The basic plot is a computer programmer wins a competition to spend a week at the private mountain estate of his company's brilliant and reclusive CEO.
Once I remember this movie.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
Once there, he learns he's been chosen to evaluate the capabilities of a new breathtaking artificial intelligence. So this one stars Alicia Vikander, Domhnall Gleeson, and Oscar Isaac. Of course, I love Domhnall Gleeson because he's a redhead like me, and there aren't a lot of us in Hollywood. And both he and Oscar Isaac are both in the new Star Wars franchise. You may recognize them. So I find advanced artificial intelligence to be both fascinating and creepy, and this movie delivers on both. Much of the movie involves Domhnall Gleeson's character of Caleb essentially conducting a Turing test on Ava, a humanoid robot played by Alicia Vikander. The Turing test is designed to see how close to human an artificial intelligence is. As we witness their conversations throughout the movie, it's clear that Ava is indeed self-aware and has free will, and even sexuality. The fact that she's a sentient being, but essentially is imprisoned behind bulletproof glass, raises some major moral questions for Caleb, who's beginning to realize that Ava's programmer and keeper, Nathan, may not be such a great guy. Over the course of their conversation, Ava shows an attraction to Caleb and vice versa, but the underlying question throughout the film is Ava truly developing feelings for Caleb, or is she manipulating him to plot her escape? Which, you know, I think is totally understandable.
That's legit if that is what she's doing. And I won't give away if that is what she's doing. But I will say this movie was creepy to me in the best possible way.
Agreed.
Like we're all like, are we heading in this direction?
Yes. It's almost like a Stanley Kubrick movie
yes.
a little bit. The script was nominated for an Oscar, very well written, and then the conversations between Caleb and Ava and between Caleb and Nathan are really fascinating to watch. And like Amy said, his remote prison-like underground compound is super creepy and claustrophobic, which adds to this feeling of foreboding throughout the entire movie. The visual effects are great. They won the Oscar that year, and Alicia Vikander's training as a ballet dancer is really obvious. Her movements are so precise and fluid that you believe she is not quite human.
That is, I would agree with all of that, actually.
That sounds really good.
Have you seen it, Lisa?
No.
You should watch it. It's good.
I don't do creepy movies, but with
it's creepy and it's not like, yeah, that's how it's creepy. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, could this happen, kind of. Or will we get there sort of thing?
And honestly, yeah. I feel like we're pretty close to that. We're not there.
Let's hope
yeah.
we're not.
Yeah, it's kind of alarming because, yeah, you feel like this is not too implausible.
Exactly. Okay, so my first recommendation is something everyone actually already knows about, I feel like. Recently, Netflix released The Bridgertons. So they released season one of The Bridgertons. And wow, The Bridgertons took off. Like, this romance series has been around for years, forever.
Probably,
but now that
It was early 2000s because I yeah. had to go back.
I didn't realize it was old until recently.
Yeah. Well, I read this when I was young.
Me neither, Phil. Romance is not my bag usually, but because I work in adult services and the Bridgertons happened because of Netflix, I was like, perhaps I should learn something about this. Anyway, because of the Netflix series, the Bridgerton books have soared in popularity. We can't keep them on the shelf. There's always a holds list on Overdrive, but they're all available on Hoopla as eBooks, and many of them are also available as e-audiobooks. So if you've been hearing about it and wondering about it, the series itself is set between 1813 and 1827. And what it is a collection of 8 novels. And each one of those novels is based on one of Viscount Bridgerton's children. Okay. So the first one, I'm not going to remember the name of The Duke and I or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Name.
Right, right. It's so the children are Anthony, Benedict, Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, and my favorite name in the whole world, Hyacinth. It just it just screams romance book to me. But so what Netflix is doing is creating a season of the series based on each one of the books. So season one is about the first book, and is that Anthony, Lisa?
No, the first book is Daphne's book. Love that Amy's talking about this and I'm helping her out.
I mean, I just wanted to promote it. I haven't seen or read them yet, but I plan to.
Oh, you're missing out. So I will tell you, if you do have Netflix, this is not something you want to watch when children are around, especially from like episode 6 on.
I don't remember if it was episode 6 or episode 8, but it was all over Twitter. That when people started
6, 7,
to
get... and 8. There's a lot of adult content.
It's like enough. A sexy Downton Abbey.
Very sexy from what I hear.
Yeah, just keep moving that spectrum. But Daphne's was a good start. My favorite book in the series was actually Anthony's, and they've started taping it.
Is that season 2, book 2?
Season 2. So that one is going to be The Viscount Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets his match in that one. I also really liked Colin's story when you get to Colin, and I'm not going to tell you who he ended up with, and Hyacinth.
Fair enough.
Brings up, they go in order-ish based on their age, with the exception of Daphne.
Anyway, I wanted to highlight this series because it is so popular. If you are on hold for one of these books in Overdrive, check out Hoopla because, like we said before, everyone can get access to the same content at the same time. And these are so popular, there's no reason to sit on hold for them right now.
They're also sitting on Amazon's bestseller list right now. I think almost the entire series is in the top 50.
Yeah.
And while you can buy a bundle together of all of them, it costs about $50.
And isn't it true, Lisa? Isn't there also, like, there's these 8 main books, and then it seems like there's a whole bunch of other books, too, like maybe prequels or side stories?
Now, see, there's the 8 books, and then they did something that I love. She wrote second epilogues to all the books.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
So if you're on Overdrive, you can sometimes check them out singly by themselves, but there is a bundle, I think it's called Happily Ever After Bridgertons. And everybody's second epilogue, so you can find out where they are maybe 10 years later, or in Hyacinth, you'll see her child, you know, grow up a little bit. As you go further down, it's different cousins and whatnot, and they're good books, but nothing beats these original 8.
Fair enough.
Whole family, you feel like you're immersed in their family and their lives, and it's just...
People just can't get enough of them right now.
Yes. And I'll be honest, when I read them 20 years ago, they were just as good. Like, I love the series. I went right through from beginning to end.
Fair enough.
It's a good series. So I'm happy this happened for them.
Excellent. And, you know, I have to give Lisa credit. When Netflix announced the Bridgerton series, she was like, you're going to need more of these books in adult. I'm like, are we? She's like, I promise you are.
Yep, absolutely.
So, all right, what you got next for us, Lisa?
My next one, it's kind of like a roundabout thing. So if you have young children, there is a lot of Sesame Street content in Hoopla. Ebooks, music, a couple of movies. The one that I am highlighting, because my 8-year-old niece decided she It's one of her favorite kids' books, and she needs to read it over and over and over again. And it's not uncommon for me to go to her house and have to check it out on Hoopla while I'm there so she can read it again to me. It's the Another Monster at the end of this book.
I was going to say, it's got to be Monster at the end of the book. No,
it's the Another Monster, because she will read her copy of Monster, and then we have to go read the sequel. And I don't know why this is hitting an eight-year-old so hard that we have to keep rereading this, but I highly recommend the Sesame Street content. It's just real easy to put on for all ages.
I agree. I also have an almost eight-year-old, and we're sort of past Sesame Street at this point, but once I filter it to that children's room, it's nice to just be able to say, choose something. Mm-hmm. And she finds things that she wishes she could watch but aren't on right now, like Loud House and those sort of things. There's like Wild Kratts can be difficult to find, but she can find complete seasons of it on Hoopla for one checkout, which is nice.
And what I love about your child is, didn't she just find audiobooks?
Yes. She just discovered the world of audiobooks, despite the fact that she has a librarian mother who listens to audiobooks all the time.
So one of Amy and her daughter's new adventures is they are going to listen to audiobooks together, but separately.
So
they have their own headphones on. And I'm like, oh.
We go for walks. We listen. Yes, we go for walks and we listen to our respective audiobooks. And then we get home and talk about what we listen to.
And have your own private book club. That's awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
It is. Bill, what do you have next?
All right, next I have The Descent from 2005. Again, this is one, put the kids to bed before you watch this one. A cave expedition goes horribly wrong as the explorers become trapped and ultimately pursued by a strange breed of predators. So my wife and I stumbled on this movie at the Saugatuck Film Festival. It was shown in a big boat warehouse, which is a surprisingly great place to watch a horror movie, and the energy in the theater was really high. And I'm usually pretty picky when it comes to horror movies. I don't really watch them that often, but this one was really a lot of fun because it was completely different from anything I've seen before or since. The movie follows a group of six young women who go spelunking in a vast cave, and just that aspect of the story is stressful enough. The deeper they go, the...
It already stresses me out that they're in a cave.
They're in a cave.
They're in a cave. And the deeper they go, the more they get into tight spots and other precarious situations.
No, thank you.
Ultimately get lost. So the movie could have been just about cave diving and it would have been terrifying from start to finish. However, the moment they realize that they are not alone in the cave, well, all hell breaks loose at that point. And their fight for survival and escape for the remainder of the film is quite thrilling. The movie
What's in there with them?
Creepy.
Is it a monster or a person?
The answer is yes, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
What is this movie called, Phil?
It's called The Descent. It's really fantastic. It's well written, well acted, and has artful cinematography. I also like that it's an all female cast. And they're portrayed as tough, smart, and three-dimensional characters, which you don't always get in a horror movie. The movie won a Saturn Award for Best Horror Film and a British Independent Award for Best Director, and Roger Ebert gives it 4 stars.
Impressive. Do we know anybody in it, Phil, or are they not very...
They're not very
not
well.
That it matters.
I didn't put down the actors for this one because they're all pretty well unknown.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is intriguing. I don't do horror generally because it's scary. But this is intriguing to me, actually.
Yeah.
I might make my husband watch this with me. I don't ever do horror alone.
Oh, like, God, no. No.
Yes, I agree.
As soon as you talked about going in the cave, I mean, I'll be honest. I did go spelunking in college. So
it's
just more of a newer thing for me. But no, it's so tight and it's creepy and no.
And the bigger I get as a person, the more horrific that sounds.
Yes. And I'm a klutz. So, you know, klutzy things do not go well in caves.
No.
Yeah. My husband's family lives about 9 hours from us. And every time we do the drive, we say we're going to stop at Mammoth Cave. And I always seem to find a reason not to, even though it's like a cave that everyone goes into. It's still a cave.
It's a cave.
Well, yeah, and you know what? What's funny, after I saw this film, my friends and I went to an Airbnb in Kentucky, and it has a cave on site. It's Razor Cave Farm. And we went into the opening of this cave, and etched in the rock was my friend's name, Spencer, in large letters. Granted, nobody knows him. This is our first time being here, and we're like, it's The Descent. It's the creature from The Descent. We have a picture of it, too. It was mind-blowing, but anyway.
And that's when you turn around and walk out.
Yes, I decided at that moment not to go any further.
Good choice. And that's why you're still here today.
That's why you're here to do this podcast with us, Phil.
That's right.
Common sense. All right, I think I'm next, right?
Yeah, what do you have?
You guys probably know this about me, but I cannot work in silence. Like, what? I don't do silence very well at all. And so when I'm in my office, I like to play music a lot, but I don't love to play it through my phone because it sucks the battery. And then I'm looking for a charger, which I inevitably forgot to bring with me, and blah, blah, blah. So I like to get a lot of music during the week from either Freegal or Hoopla. And so one of my favorites that I get from Hoopla probably every month is the Hamilton soundtrack.
Like
a lot of people, I loved this musical. I loved it when I saw it. I love it when I listen to it. My 8-year-old knows most of the words to all of the songs. I enjoy this. And so I love that I can download it from Hoopla, listen to it from my computer while I'm working. And it's great. In addition to Hamilton, if you do like musical, there's lots of other ones on Hoopla as well. I just did a quick search today so I could talk about them. But there's Hadestown, there's the music from Wicked. It's not a musical as much as a movie, but the Greatest Showman soundtrack. There's lots of great movies and music soundtracks available in Hoopla that I highly recommend. And there's tons of other music too. This is just what I find myself listening to in the workday. So people make fun of me because they'll call me at work. Like, our PR person will call me at work and be like, are you listening to Hamilton again? And I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, we might have seen Hamilton together. So, yeah.
Right.
Important question. Disney Plus Hamilton or live Hamilton? Which one's better?
Well, I actually have thoughts on this. Live Hamilton was fabulous. Like, to finally see it, we saw it when it was touring in Detroit. A bunch of us from work went, and it was great. I loved it. I do love also watching it on Disney Plus, though, because you get the angles that you, like, when I watch a musical, I tend to focus on one person, even though I know I should be scanning the stage, but, like, David Diggs is such a magnetic personality that when he was on the stage, that's who I watched. You know what I mean? So it is nice to see more of the show that I probably wasn't focusing on when I watched it. Because there's so many details in, like, the dance or the movement or who's interacting with who, even though they're not speaking, that are really fascinating. So,
agreed.
Yeah, it's a great musical. I grew up in all those 80s spectacle musicals with all the staging. And this one really has sparse staging, but it's remarkable with what they can do with just a group of talented actors and
singers
and dancers.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
This one also had so much wit to it. I mean, I love the part of King George.
Yes. It's funny. I watched I don't even know how it must have come up on Facebook or something. There was a clip of Lin-Manuel Miranda. The first time he sort of talked about doing this in public was at a presidential event. And he did, like, one rap from it. It might have been My Shot or something like that. But he introduced his idea for this musical. And it was Michelle and Barack Obama and all these other important people. And they all laughed out loud when he gave the description. And you can see he's taken aback. He's like, no, I'm serious. This is going to be a musical. And everyone was like, oh, okay, buddy. And then it blew up. So,
And not to sound bad about this, but who knew anything about Hamilton before this? Other than he dealt with money.
Well, this he was inspired by the book by, gosh, Phil, what's the guy who writes all the biographies of
Oh,
the
goodness.
founding?
It's not Chernow, is it?
I don't remember.
I know
I'll
it's
think
an
of
adult
it.
Book.
I'll think of it afterwards.
But it's funny because he told the story about how he read it on summer vacation. And my husband also read that book on summer vacation. And I'm like, well, why didn't you write Hamilton? We would be millionaires.
That's
and
right.
My husband's like, oh, because I don't have any talent in that area. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, who's next?
I don't know. I lost
Lisa.
Track.
I think
Lisa's
next. Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that Hoopla does really well, so we've talked a little bit about ebooks and movies and music. What they really do good are graphic novels, so books with pictures.
Yes.
You'll get them in Overdrive, and it's okay, but their graphic novel content is excellent in Hoopla. And one of the ones that I really like from there is The Lightning Thief by Rick Riordan. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series, which sparked a whole bunch of series afterwards. I love Rick Riordan's writing. It's great fantasy. The illustrations really match up with the pictures and what I was thinking. And it's just, it's such a good story. Honestly, I would recommend The Lightning Thief for anybody, whether they're an adult or a child or a family read in a car. But I love that it's a graphic novel here.
And I will also say, just in general, the breadth of content in Hoopla on graphic novels is way bigger than any other service that we provide. And they have a lot of the more obscure stuff that you might be looking for. Some of the content that is awesome, but a little bit less popular is available through Hoopla. And so it's a great resource for comic books and graphic novels for sure.
Yes.
Agreed. Well, and those get pricey anyways, because a lot of them, especially the manga, is sequential.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. And so many of them can be released. So, yeah.
Right.
All right,
so
what's
that? What do you got?
Okay, so when we talked about doing this podcast, I told Amy I wanted to do some hidden gems. And I definitely consider this one to be a hidden gem on Hoopla. It's Let the Right One In from 2008. It's a Swedish movie, but you might recognize Let Me In, which is the U.S. version, remake, that was with Chloe Grace Moritz. But this is the original Swedish film. And so the basic plot is Oscar, an overlooked and bullied boy, finds love and revenge through Ellie, a beautiful but peculiar girl. So the basic premise of this movie is that of a coming-of-age boy-crush, girl-crush friendship between two tweens who are both lonely and kind of outsiders. What makes their relationship both interesting and challenging is that the girl, Ellie, is a vampire. On the positive side, Ellie assists Oscar with his problem with school bullies. On the negative side, Ellie requires a steady diet of human blood in order to stay alive, which is always a challenge. Ellie's morally questionable caregiver is in the unfortunate position of having to keep the refrigerator stocked, so to speak, without getting caught.
I have to interrupt you. I never expected the answer to be she's a vampire. I thought,
no.
Twist, right?
Right? I don't know what I thought you were going to say, but that was not it.
I also loved how in the first part of this, Phil said, well, you know, I'm not really into most horror.
And I know, and here I go with a whole bunch of horror movies. I guess it turns out I am.
Is this horror or is this comedy?
It's not comedy. I'm reading it as comedy, but it's actually deadly serious.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
it's with the same serious as maybe my first two movies.
Fair enough.
So keeping Ellie's vampire-ness a secret to the outside world becomes increasingly difficult, which in turn threatens the friendship between Ellie and Oscar. So I like this film because it's largely shot as a character study, and at its core, it's a movie about friendship in the face of adversity. There are brilliant gothic horror elements, but the film takes its time in developing the relationship between Oscar and Ellie so that you actually care about them and about their unusual predicament. The directing and the cinematography is excellent, and the film won the Saturn Award for Best international film, and it pretty much gets great reviews across the board. So,
is she a vampire with a conscience? Does she like only suck the blood of terrible people, like killers, or no?
I think we can't conclude that.
I think
she's just hungry. You know,
that's fair.
What are you gonna do?
I mean, a person's got to eat.
A person's got to eat, right?
So I'm going to assume this is also one you want to watch after the kids go to bed.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
All right. I'm again fascinated, Phil.
See, you've got some homework to do, Amy.
I do. I'm going to start with Descent, though.
Yes.
All right. So my decidedly different last recommendation. Over the past year during lockdown and everything, I didn't watch a ton of these beforehand, but this last year I have been obsessed with cooking shows. I don't know why. I think because it's just mindless fun and I might learn a little something too.
It's very but comforting.
Yes, exactly. I discovered that Hoopla has the Great British Baking Show.
Ah, I love that
show.
Which is awesome as far as I'm concerned. Yes. So I don't know if anyone doesn't know what the Great British Baking Show is. If you don't, you absolutely should. But basically, contestants are brought together and every week they have challenges to compete in to create these things that are just like these baking things that are out of this world.
Masterpieces.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah.
My
stunning.
Whole family is hooked on this show.
Yes, absolutely. As are we. And so I'm obsessed with this show for some reason. And Hoopla has seasons 1 through 5. So I love the challenges. I love how creative the contestants are. And because I'm sometimes a terrible person, I love when things kind of go horribly wrong and they have to figure out a solution to it. But
they're always so diplomatic, even when they're competing.
Yes, they help each other, okay, like with ingredients and stuff occasionally and stuff like that. And so it's just a great family show that is not at all stressful and things. It's just fun to watch.
And what I love about it is it's not a show necessarily for bakers.
Exactly.
It makes cooking accessible for everybody, even people who don't cook.
Correct.
So it just makes
I think
fun.
That's
where,
true.
Where I'm more of a baker and I get some of the stuff they're doing and it's still fun, but I can also sit next to like my brother or the kids or something else and they are also going to enjoy the show.
And I can learn some things too because they'll use a term and then they sort of show you what they're doing. Like you can figure out what that term means if you don't already know what it means. You know what?
Yeah,
like,
and over time you're like, oh, they didn't prove that long
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yes,
I
exactly.
I never thought I would have learned something like that.
Exactly.
But you better be careful because otherwise after COVID, I'm going to expect baking.
That's right.
Fair enough.
Oh,
that's
I
fair.
Should also say, now that this is your segment, sorry, and I'm talking
no,
all
no,
over
no.
you, but
please do.
When my wife and I first watched that, my wife goes, ooh, Paul's handsome.
Paul is handsome.
He's a handsome guy. I must admit myself, he's a handsome guy.
Yes. So a little something for everyone, I think,
that's
with
right.
the Great British Baking Show. All right, that's, I think, takes us to Lisa, right?
Yep. Let me just throw in one last set.
Okay.
Because I work in children's, the other thing I really like about Hoopla is that they do have, we've talked about the pictures and graphic novels, they also have picture books. And I like those, especially like if you're sitting at the doctor's office in a waiting room and you need to occupy a child and you need something to read or keep them busy because I don't want them touching other people's stuff right now. Two that I would recommend are We Don't Eat Our Classmates by Ryan Higgins, which is one of our preschool picks. In it, it's the first day of school for Penelope Rex, and she can't wait to meet her classmates. But it's hard to make human friends when they are so delicious. That is, until Penelope gets a taste of her own medicine and finds she may not be at the top of the food chain after all. Other one I would highly recommend is Unstoppable by Adam Rex. If it was normal-ish out this year and we were still going into schools like we do in the past, this would have been a book that we would have taken out to classrooms for March's Reading Month. Each of the
we did take the first one out that we did take We Don't Eat Our Classmates
absolutely. Yeah. But I feel like they already all know this book. This is a new one that just came out last year. The animals in the forest all want each other's superpowers, what they see. So, you know, bird wants claws and crab wants the ability to fly, and they all team up to help save the forest from the people who are trying to deforest it. But it's really neat because at one point you see all the animals stacked up on top of each other, so they are a giant superhero because they have all the powers.
Nice.
Like Voltron.
Well, it is. It is. And then you start thinking about, oh, what superpower would I want? You know?
It's very fun.
It's something that's accessible to everybody, but it's a good story.
All right.
So those are my last two ebooks.
So we promised that we would keep this under 30 minutes, and we're at 40 minutes. So
I did not promise that. And let's be real, when you had the two of us, for sure, Bill doesn't talk quite as much, but I feel like Amy knew what she was getting into with us.
All right, I'm going to wrap us up and say thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you will make use of Hoopla, which you can find on the digital download section of our website. While you're there, I would also encourage you to check out Freegal, which is a music streaming service where you get 5 free songs a week to keep forever. You can also stream music every day. And then there's also Overdrive there that you can check out for other ebooks and e-audio needs. As always, if you have any questions, please feel free to visit our website, give us a call, or come into one of our buildings. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.